Show announcement. We've got our best investigative journalists on the case. We basically got the I team. We got the I team investigating why Chris Russell threw away his burgundy shirt. We're going to get these answers.
We're going to find out.
The public needs to know. He's got a show starting at 2 o'clock, so ideally we track that down before that. Brian.
Girl, look at that body.
Yesterday we had a debate. I thought Sunday's Commanders game, Commanders-Giants on Sunday, was about 70-30 Commanders fans. Jeff said it was more 60-40. A bunch of people on Twitter said 60-40. Greg texted that it was 80-20 Commanders fans. Greg sees the world through burgundy-colored glasses.
Yeah. Jeff is worse than – I mean, Greg is worse than Jeff.
Greg has the most Ashburn syndrome of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start with what you saw the game as.
Actually, I was too busy looking at the field. I wasn't even looking in the stands, to be honest with you.
I just thought the Giants bench, behind the Giants, the visitors bench,
I did see some blue over there.
But outside of that, I thought it was pretty damn red.
Overall, it's like, yeah, they heard their little cheers, but for the most part, it was more Commanders. So that's all I cared about was the loudest word of the Commander fans.
So I agree with you. I had it at 70-30. This is not a dig at the fans because I thought it was a really good atmosphere for that game. But we know that the false starts, especially deep down in the red zone, were a big problem in that game. Yesterday was the first time we got to kind of be in the locker room, ask some questions, talk to Jaden, talk to DQ, talk to a number of the offensive linemen, right? Crowd noise was an issue on the false starts. Presumably, crowd noise in that situation is coming from the away fans.
Yeah.
Crowd noise Monday night in Cincinnati, I think, will be pretty damn significant.
But you know what, though, Jay? Damn excuses. Yes, I don't hear that about no crowd noise was an issue. They know the snap count. Don't move until the ball snap. I mean, now you don't want the people to cheer. You can't go out there with shh.
Well, so I was talking to a player about this yesterday, and one kind of there's this like fairly over talked about thing like. For Jaden Daniels, this is his first primetime game, right, in the NFL. That dude, last November, less than a year ago, took the LSU Tigers into Tuscaloosa to play the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
Like,
it couldn't have been no bigger than that.
Yo, there's more – like, I feel like NFL fans, maybe particularly, like, along the East Coast from D.C. to Boston, where college football just isn't as big, that atmosphere for LSU-Bama at – 8 o'clock kickoff in Tuscaloosa.
It's ridiculous.
It's
as big as anything in the NFL.
It's bigger.
Yeah.
It's bigger.
So, I mean, I'm not buying just the crowd noise because one thing you're taught when you can't hear, look at the ball.
Well, I want to ask you. So, a bunch of these dudes told us that they're working this week to be ready to go on a silent count.
Okay.
Take us, like, fans hear that, and they can process it, but what the hell does that actually mean if you're on the field? How does it work? Like, with the play call in the huddle. Do they say
they call the play in the huddle? No, they call the play, and they call a silent snap count, which means you got to be focused on the damn ball. So my question is, if you can't hear, shouldn't you be focused on the ball? You don't have to put in a silent count for me to understand. I don't hear the quarterback. I'm looking over at this ball. And then I'm coming off. So, but the question I would ask you, was it veteran players that jumped? Yes.
It was all over the place.
A lot of offensive linemen were veteran players, right?
Right.
So, those guys already know this. You get to a point where coaches don't have to tell you everything. There comes a certain point in your career, I said it earlier, about taking ownership in your own stuff. So, the excuse that the crowd noise, come on, man. So, if that gets out, what is everybody going to tell their crowd when you go to their place? Make noise. They're going to jump.
Right.
And are we going to just accept it? Or are we expecting them to get better at it?
I don't know that answer.
I ask this question. Did the other side jump a lot?
I don't believe so.
Okay, and our crowd was cheering when they were on, and they had the ball.
Right.
So that's a damn excuse. It's not no fact. It's an excuse.
Do you think that is a one-off outlier red zone issue? Or
I hope. I can't say I think, I hope, because, listen, man, for the most part, I'm not buying that excuse there. I'm not.
Okay. I think that's a pretty thorough rebuke of that excuse. Do you think offensively they really got it going against the Giants because the Giants stink or because their offense is pretty good?
I think the offense is good. To be totally honest with you, I think the offense is good. I just think that we're not good, so good to where we can inflict pain and hurt ourselves and overcome it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So our offense is good when we basically don't have the penalties and we don't make mistakes that put us in bad situations. Because you saw every time we got in the red zone, we had a false start, I saw a penalty. And when we moved back, we couldn't overcome it. So we have to be damn near perfect to make sure we see what we are capable of at this point.
I think they do need to be pretty close to perfect. You and I have, I don't want to say disagreed. I think, like this, like the Jets, for instance.
Uh-huh.
I think last night was the first version of what we're going to see them look like in the post-Thanksgiving, heading towards the playoffs world, like when teams kind of become fully evolved, fully developed,
mm-hmm.
and then injuries always impact that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think this Washington team, this Washington offense, as the season develops, when you got a quarterback that looks like Jaden looks, I'm curious if you agree with this. And, Landfill, tell me when we need a break. But
in 2 minutes.
Okay. You know when a pitcher is in the seventh inning or eighth inning of a no-hitter and you just don't want to talk about it?
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel about Jaden right now. Mm-hmm. Is you don't want to start talking about something before it really happens, but damn, there's some real reasons to believe there's something happening.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Like,
And I think if you have that, all of a sudden everything's on the table.
One thing about me, if I see you putting in the work consistently, I believe everything I see about you. But when I don't see you putting in the work, I'm just waiting for the bubble to burst. This dude puts the work in. And I think when you watch him, when something happens wrong, the way he immediately talks to the guys and has a hold and a feel for this thing, I'm expecting him to go out and do his thing. But it's not like I'm going to say, whoa, he's going to be perfect. No, I'm just expecting him to go out and do his thing.
Nobody's going to be perfect. But they're building something offensively that I think could look pretty damn explosive down the stretch here, especially that second half version we saw Jaden was so, so damn good. When we return, Maryland Governor Wes Moore joins the program making his weekly NFL picks.
Hey, it's Brian Mitch here. This is the last call because this offer is almost over. All FanDuel customers can get $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, in moments we're going to be joined by Maryland Governor Wes Moore making his NFL picks for the week. A couple things we need to discuss. Three things we need to discuss.
How'd you go last week?
He's 5-5 on the year. Yo, you know what I heard on Rooster's show?
What?
Linnell, so they make 14 picks a week, and it's Roost, Doc, Linnell, and Essig.
Uh-huh.
And Essig makes his picks by just flipping a coin. That's his shtick.
And he's winning?
I don't know who's winning. I'll be honest with you. The thing that I remembered from this segment that I listened to, Linnell went 4-10 week
one. Oh, yeah. Doc told me about that.
Golly. I actually had a good night last night. I had the under, and I had DeMario Douglas receiving yards. Bing bong.
I had a good night, too.
What'd you have?
I had steak, pork belly, a lot of wine.
Where were you last night?
I forgot the name of the restaurant, man.
The
Events DC and Formula One thing. That was nice.
I went to that boxing thing. Before that, my buddy Gladding had us over to his house. And he had these roast beef sandwiches that were phenomenal. They were just outrageous. And all I said was, yo, I love the roast beef. Those buns are really good. And everybody there hit me with a pause. I thought, I'm literally talking about the sandwiches. And people got to get their brains out of the
gutter. But a lot of men together, you don't say your buns are good.
Yo, the bun was really good.
It was a lot of dudes.
There were women there.
But I'm saying a lot of dudes, you don't just say buns. Especially if you got some wives there, you can't be saying buns. They don't know what buns you're looking at. And if it's all dudes, you can't be saying buns.
Talking about the roast beef sandwiches.
Bro. I don't know, Jay.
It was like a brioche bun.
I think you wanted to get a pause.
Nah, I didn't. Lanville, I feel like I should make you aware of this. B-Mitch just pulled a piece of fried chicken out of thin air. I don't know how it happened.
No, I had this bag here. It's Jollibee.
It smells great, and I got none of it. So
I got a piece for you. But you can't complain. It's spicy than Popeye's spicy.
Maybe I'll pass. What the hell? Let's live a little. It's a Scotty's Vodka Rebel. It's Friday, right?
Next break. Go for it.
All right.
And when you got to run to the bathroom, I am laughing.
Well, then maybe I'll abstain. we'll get all this bathroom talk out of the way before the governor joins us. Two things I do want to discuss after the gov. Jaden Daniels spoke at length yesterday. We've got a bunch of audio. The kid is very cool. Like he's just
no, the kid is just intelligent as hell and smart, and he understands leadership and guidance.
Yeah, but he's also like, he's not above anything. He's not below. Like, but he's just. I've dealt with a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and he's different.
But the thing
close
about
close that door. We got everybody coming.
Okay. The thing about it though, Jay, I think the problem is this: we automatically assume everybody ought to be a certain age to understand. I've said this many a times. Guys of Jaden's caliber, the great basketball players, they have more opportunity than the average person, and they should be. You should expect more from them because they don't just play the game most times. When you're a top-notch athlete, you get presented with a lot of stuff. Now, whether you accept the stuff that you're being presented with or not, it's a different ball game. But I think his parents should be commended because a lot of times, once an athlete becomes great, what do the parents do? They turn into tag-alongs. And they let the kid basically run them. He has been guided by both his mom and his dad. His dad has a lot of influence on his football acumen, too. So you got to give them credit, too. And I just think that the kid understood along the way. You know, like when I told you that David Culley said, you can't just be a leader on the football field. You got to be a leader all the time. And that changed up my mindset. But what if somebody never told me that and just kissed my ass because I was a good quarterback?
Sure.
It never made me become a better person. So he's become a better person. And I think every athlete is capable of that. Whether or not they listen or the people around them help present it, that's a different story.
Well said there. Specifically, something Jaden talked about yesterday, I want to play the audio. Terry McLaurin, at this point, is averaging about 5 yards per catch. Mm-hmm. Normally, that's about 14, 15 yards per catch. I always say this. It's a Mike Rizzo quote. Look at the back of the baseball card. That'll tell you the story. Over time, I think these numbers will kind of normalize. But right now, that it's something that stands out. There's also, and Lanfield dropped this in the group thread. Now, this is from Byron Kerr, who does updates with us, works with us. I like Byron a lot. I don't know who is mentioning this. Maybe there's an article here or something. But Florida Gators, that's big-time college football.
Yeah.
Okay? It's great to be a Florida Gator, right? Billy Napier is about to get fired. They're bad.
Yeah, I'm
their
sorry,
schedule
Billy.
Is
look
really,
like you're about to be looking, brother.
Yeah, their schedule's really hard, and Napier hasn't really hit the ground running down there. It's a question.
He's not hit the ground walking.
Yeah. It's going bad in Gainesville, right? So there's an article from CBS Sports that suggests who's going to be the next coach at Florida. One of the names on the list, Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to circle back.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we're going to circle back to Kingsbury. Right now, though, we are excited to welcome on Maryland Governor Wes Moore. Governor, how you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
We're good, brother.
We are doing well, man. You were there. Maybe you were the good luck charm they needed. That was the Commanders' first home win in a calendar year, dude. Can you believe that?
Isn't that crazy? But I tell you what, and people say they're like, well, it was an ugly win. I was like, listen, I'll take an ugly win over a beautiful loss any day of the week, man. So
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Totally.
Speaking of losses, though, the fellas in Baltimore.
Up the road.
That had to kind of shock you.
It definitely shocked me. But you know what? I'm trying to go back to the old Aaron Rodgers, relax. It's early. It'll be okay. The problem, though, is you don't just pay attention to the record. You pay attention to how people are playing. And there are just certain holes that we're now watching that if you don't address it, it's going to be really problematic. We've got to come up with a better strategy in the way we're using Derrick Henry. You don't have a dog in the backfield like Derrick Henry and not have a fully baked out strategy around it. Part of the challenge is you've got a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball for the Ravens, but you need a better strategy for Derrick Henry. The other big thing is the Ravens are just giving up too many points. Every game can't be a shootout. You have to have a defense that can shut people down, and we have a lot of talent on the defensive side. The thing that I was said at the beginning of the year, where I was like, I think losing Queen was a deal, but it wasn't a big deal. I'm actually starting to wonder maybe it was a bigger deal than I thought, because there is something missing about this defense right now, and Queen is doing his thing up in Pittsburgh right now.
They going to Pittsburgh.
They have a history, Governor, of having exceptional leadership. And over the last few years, they've been losing a lot of their guys that are the leaders. Could that finally be getting to them a little bit?
I mean, it could be. I mean, locker room matters, right?
Yeah.
I think we're seeing it throughout the NFL. I think we've seen it. And again, I'm going to sound like a broken record on this. I think we're seeing it in Philadelphia. I think the Eagles are going to continue having a problem because I feel like the coaching staff has lost the locker room. But leadership inside of the locker room matters, especially when you're getting to this level, right? The guys are so good. They're so big. They're so fast. It's the biggest question becomes who has that X factor? And the X factor are, do you have the people not just on the field, but the people on the sideline who are going to put together the right plan, who the team has full buy-in for, and also have the ability to execute?
Governor, I can't help but think, too, specific to the Ravens, you lose Mike McDonald. He's got those Seahawks 2-0. I know he was a young guy, but damn, he seemed like a pretty important piece of what they were doing in Baltimore.
It was. He was. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And particularly when you look at some of the places that we have seen the biggest fallback for the Ravens, it was what McDonald ran, right? I mean, some of the challenges we're seeing when you lose your O-line coach right before the start of the year, that has an impact on people because coaching and consistency, it really does matter. You know, and listen, I love Harbaugh. I love his next man up philosophy and the way that he runs his team. But I'd be lying if I didn't say that there is something, there's been a challenge where both on the field and on the sidelines, some of these losses that the Ravens have taken over these past 6 months, they're showing themselves on the field right now. And I think we've just got to figure out a way to correct that quickly or you're going to realize that we might have added some tools, but it's still going to be a fundamentally different team than what you're seeing from last year.
All right, Gov, well, why don't we get to the picks then? You are at 5-5, and honestly, the way this NFL season has started, being 500 is pretty damn good.
I know,
nobody on the planet had the Raiders winning that thing last week. You weren't alone.
No,
but
and
let's start.
Like, there's no reason that they did win. I mean, beating Baltimore in Baltimore at the home opener, it was crazy.
With a 10-point fourth quarter lead.
Wow.
Yes.
Why don't we start
yes.
with your Ravens then? Ravens Cowboys. This is a massive, massive game this early in the year.
This is one I'm pulling. You got to beat them. You got to beat the damn Cowboys now.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. I mean, like, and y'all know, as much as I hate the Cowboys, this is going to be real bad if our boys go down to Dallas and lose. I mean, and I know it's in Dallas, which is always challenging, and going down to going down there and playing in Jerry's World and all that kind of stuff. The thing that I know, though, is that the Ravens looked bad last week. The Cowboys looked really bad. I mean, they got it handed to them. And they showed, I mean, every criticism that people had and every vulnerability that people thought about the Cowboys going into this year got showed off. last week. And it wasn't just because of the talent that we saw from the Saints. We'll get to them in a second. It was that if you draw up the right plan against the Cowboys, you're going to beat the Cowboys if you have the right talent base. And so, I mean, I've got faith. I think that this week is the week that the Ravens, you know, drop this now three-game losing streak that we're on. And I think this is the week that we go down there and we get this W. Because maybe this what happened last week maybe was the dose of reality that the Ravens needed to get moving.
Yeah, I wonder. And, you know, teams like the Ravens, you just trust. And, like, I feel like when we get – it'll be, people start putting up Christmas trees, it'll be December 5th, and the Ravens are going to be not 9-4 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let's keep it with a team I'm not sure you trust, Gov. Eagles going down to New Orleans. The Saints are outrageously hot. Eagles, yeah. Saints, who you got?
Oh, the Saints. Saints. I don't trust them.
Easy.
I don't trust them. I mean, even if you look at their first couple games, right? The first one was against a good team. Don't get me wrong. I respect the Packers. But it was still it wasn't a good-looking win. It wasn't something that I think gave the Eagles fans any confidence. And then you saw what happened last week. Mm-hmm. I do not trust this Eagles team. And I don't think that the coaches have the locker room. And I think that they can make adjustments on the field all you want. But if you're essentially bringing back the same folks who are calling the plays and helping lead people, I think that's going to matter. It's going to show itself. And the Saints, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what defense even has a chance of stopping these folks right now. They're just playing really good football. I know it is early. And you don't get too excited about what's happening, you know, what happens in the first couple weeks. But you got Kamara, you know, what does he have, 4 rushing touchdowns?
Yeah, 3 of those and 1 receiving
touchdown. I mean, like, I mean, he's putting up numbers right now. And so I think we saw the problems that the Eagles had. I don't think they fixed them or corrected them. So I think the Eagles go get this one. I'm sorry, I think the Saints go get this one.
Do you believe in Derek Carr, though?
I believe in Derek Carr more than I believe in the Eagles front office, huh?
Wow, and
no pass rush. Until the Eagles can generate some pass rush, I don't know how that thing works.
Yeah.
Perhaps the biggest surprise right now is Sam Darnold and the Vikings at 2-0. They've got the Texans coming to town. Big game there. Nobody expected Houston, Minnesota to be a headliner, but here we are. Who you like?
You know, it is so crazy to me because if anybody would have said that after, you know, week 2, that one of the leading contenders, again, early, one of the leading contenders for people who were, like, in the MVP conversation was Darnold.
Yeah.
not on planet Earth.
Right.
But listen, he's put it up. And so I think that he's actually doing some really interesting things there in ways that I think that people did not expect. But you know who's also putting up crazy numbers? It's Stroud.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I think Stroud is legit. This was not a new quarterback thing. This is not a, oh, we don't have film on him thing. He's just showing he's just a legit quarterback. I mean, I think he's got, he's got like 500 passing yards already going in. I mean, the guy is he's putting up very real numbers. And so I think that even though it's on the road, I think the Texans go ahead and take this win over the Vikings. It'll be a good game. And particularly when you're going out talking about playing in Minnesota, it's always tough. But I think the Texans go off and pull this win because I'm a believer in CJ Stroud.
It's a safe place to be, man. He's been fantastic since he got into the pros. And you add Steph Diggs. I mean, that team is just loaded.
And their defense is playing well.
For sure. Will Anderson's a beast. You add Danielle Hunter. There's a lot to like there.
Yeah. I agree.
Now, Governor, one thing I appreciate about you sincerely is that you – obviously, you're in the politics game, and that requires a level of diplomacy, but you don't sugarcoat things you hate. And I know you hate the Steelers, and they're hosting the Chargers, a pair of 2-0 teams that just want to run the ball and play defense. This thing seems like it's going to be a legit fist fight. Jim Harbaugh coming to Pittsburgh. What do you think?
This is going to be a straight fist fight, and I love it. I tell you, usually I'm not one of these people where one person can help me to change my opinion on a game, because I think one of the things I love about football is it's much bigger than one person oftentimes. Mm-hmm. This is actually one of these games, though, where I think one person actually helps to shift my opinion on it. Because if Herbert were 100%, I probably would pick the Chargers. He's not. And even if he does get reps, he's not going to be the same Justin Herbert that I think that we've become accustomed to, and I think really has the potential of being being an actual star in here. And so I think, and again, I hate saying this, but when you look at the way that the Steelers, you know, came in and, you know, beat the Falcons, you look at the way they came in, beat the Broncos. Again, these aren't two stellar teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they've shown a level of stability and fight that I think people have come accustomed to with the Steelers. And so so I do think that the Steelers, I think the Steelers can pull this.
Got the Gov dipping in and out there. Yeah. Gov, we got you still. You there?
Oh, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep, we got you. So you took the Steelers,
right? I think I was saying good things about the Steelers. So,
and the phone cut out.
Phone cut out. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Governor, it's kind of funny. We want you in Annapolis as long as possible, but eventually if you want to drive, you know, down 16th Street, you might need Pennsylvania. You might need to be a little kinder to these Steelers fans, man.
Nah, I don't play that game. They know.
I love it. All right, the main event, Monday Night Football in Cincinnati.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you got two LSU Heisman Trophy winners. What a cool game this is set to be. Yeah. Commanders-Bengals. What do you think of?
Yeah, man, this is a really cool game. And I got to tell you, man, I'm so proud of Jalen Daniels, man. He's really playing. And you know, if you look at – and you know, can I tell you – can I just say one thing about him and why I was so impressed? At the game, that play where he got hurt and he had to sit out for one play. And by the way, and I know y'all felt it because I saw you there, to watch the entire stadium, their air go out of them, yeah. Watching him laying on the ground, and people are like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then, you know, he comes off the field. Backup comes on board, and people are like, okay, what just happened? Did the future just go away? He comes back a play later and then leads a scoring drive and actually it was beautiful. I mean, he got the ball off quickly, as he had to do. Mm. On that drive, some like, what, 60-some-odd yards on one drive? I mean, he played a great drive after being hurt. And so I think he just showed a level of toughness that I think people really respect. And I think, you know, he's really had as good a first couple games as any rookie in the NFL has had. Now, that being said, this defense can't stop anything right now. I mean, I'm watching these teams just completely just like slicing the Commanders' defense apart. And you cannot do that against the Bengals. You just can't. They have too many weapons. And so I think until the Commanders can do two things. One, you got to give Daniels more time. This offensive line is still too Swiss cheesy to be able to make sure that, you know, you have a star quarterback that can feel supported and protected. And until the secondary can stop giving up 20 and 30 and 40 points a game, you're going to have a tough time, particularly against teams that are above average teams in the NFL, which is, you know, the Bengals are an above average team. I'll repeat what I said before. I'm still not completely sold on the Bengals quarterback being a top two quarterback in the NFL, what some people want to give him. But I do think that Cincinnati looked better last week, and this game is at home for them, and I do think that matters. So I think the Bengals end up taking this one at home.
Governor, we know appreciate you making time for us, man. Ravens, Saints, Texans, Steelers, Bengals. Those are the picks.
Those are the picks. So hopefully I have a five after week three.
All right. Thank you very much, Governor.
Hey, bless y'all. Talk to you.
All right, take care, man.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore, everything he said about the Commanders-Bengals game, I tend to agree with him. Mm-hmm. We're going all in on this matchup. Monday nighter, nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. This is the last call because this offer is almost over. All FanDuel customers can bet $5 to get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, folks. Busy, busy, busy show today. A lot of moving parts. Normally Friday in the NFL is Fast Friday where players and coaches all want to get the hell out of the building. But today is a Thursday, even though it's a Friday, because they play on Monday, not Sunday. Does that make sense to me?
That makes a lot of sense to me.
If you speak NFL, what I just said makes sense. If you don't, it might have sounded weird. In moments, we're going to hear from Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. Very curious to hear Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn yesterday talked about Terry McLaurin's lack of productivity. I will do my best. We're kind of in a unique situation. I don't know that I'll be able to get a question in there, but I'm sure Cliff's going to get asked about it. And kind of the horizontal nature of this offense, at least through 2 weeks. You know, B, when you go back and watch, there are some shots that are there that haven't been really taken yet. But I think you saw the pass to Noah Brown late in that game on the game-winning drive. Like, it's coming. I feel pretty damn confident that it's coming.
I totally agree with you.
Specific to the Terry stuff, though, at what point does it matter, if that makes sense?
Right, it matters because he's your number one guy. And if your number one guy, you know, doesn't live up to his number one hype, then it's going to affect the rest of the team. So I think if you get Terry more involved, then all of a sudden everybody else begin to be able to play the role that they were brought here to play. You know, but the ultimate thing is if you win the football game, it doesn't matter, to be honest with you. You know, if you're losing and you're not getting them involved, then that's going to definitely matter.
Okay.
Because people are going to ask the question, you got your best guy involved. I mean, he's there, but he's not involved. How do you expect to win?
Okay, because the world likes to keep us on our toes.
It's Joe Witt joining us.
It's Joe Witt speaking. We will go live now in progress to Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt.
A lot of our third down ills are mistakes that we're making on different levels. Some of them we did correct. That's from the first week to the second. We still have some more to do, and so we will. But it's always good to get the win. Now going into to this next game, especially the divisional win, that's always big. But going into Cincinnati, it starts with the quarterback. I mean, he's just a really good player. He's been, you know, outstanding when he was at LSU, and then ever since he's been in the league, all he does is find a way to win games. He's a challenge, but he's a challenge because he has outstanding weapons on the outside. T. Higgins and Chase are just two guys that make you play a softer type of coverage because you have to get over the top of them. I don't believe Chase gets the credit that he deserves in this league, man. He's been one of the top receivers for a long time. 2 years ago, and he beat the double twice, and we were fortunate enough to win that game, but he made it hard for us. So they have a tight end that can really, 88, they can really just stretch out. He's like a receiver, so you have to be aware of him. Offensive line big, especially the tackles. You know, the young kid hasn't played, but they still have the two big tackles that are mammoth men. All right, so getting around them will be a challenge. But it all starts with the quarterback and the skill positions. The running backs, they run hard when they get the opportunity, also in the screen game. And so we have to just do our job. And that's the main thing, is to make sure that we are doing our job. We're playing fast. We're playing with the physicality that we want. And then, you know, good things will happen from there. So, any questions?
What has your focus been this week to get you guys to that play style you want to be at?
My number one focus was, since we had an extra day, was the third downs. You know, we go back and look at every third down, examine the call. All right, were there any repeat mistakes? And the common theme of what was keeping us from getting off the field. Because once we get off the field, we're causing negative plays on some first and second downs, but we get to third downs, and one reason or another, you know, we've had five penalties on defense. All five penalties came on third down, you know, so that's something that can't happen, you know. And so we've looked at a number of different areas, but that was my main focus when we had the extra time.
How would you evaluate John and Deron, their start to the year?
About like the rest of us, you know, we're as a defense, we're not where we need to be. I know everybody wants to get enamored in individual player stats and numbers and all that, but we rush as a collective, we play as a collective, and once we start playing better as a collective, individuals, numbers and all that will increase. But until we as a collective play better, you know, it is going to be what it is with certain people's numbers.
So you mentioned Chase beating some of those double teams. What allows a guy what skills does it take to beat those kind of double teams? What does he do to win in those situations?
He has the ability to get out of his hips. You know, 2 years ago when we played him, the way we were doubling him, we actually played it too deep, one of the guys. So that's how he beat us on one of them. Another one, he just was outquicked us. But he has the ability to get out of his hips. A lot like Devontae Adams where, you know, you're so worried about how he can shake, so it moves you when you don't have to move because you have leverage, you have somebody on the other side. And he has the ability to move people when they shouldn't be moving. And that's why he beat us 2 years ago in those doubles.
And then you said you're not playing the play style that you're desiring. What is it that you're not seeing yet, and how can you get there?
Well, the main thing is I've always talked about when guys are thinking, and it's my job to get them from thinking, but when they're thinking, they're not going to play as fast as you want. We want to play with speed and physicality. The physicality is there, and the speed is coming, but we have to make sure, and I have to make sure I do a better job of clearing up their thinking so that they're reacting and they're attacking. And so once that happens, so a couple of the layers that we might have had, some defenses that had multiple layers, we pull back some of those layers. So now that we can just play a little bit faster, now the complexity of the defense might not be there, but I don't care about that. I care about how we arrive and how fast that we can get there, and that will take some of the ills that we've had.
Good morning. There's been more conversation this week. It's kind of been going on for the last couple of years about league-wide about passing numbers being down, and people are trying to figure out why is it the case. Should they make changes? Is the too high safety thing, all that? I'm just curious. I know you don't speak for all teams, but what are you seeing that's maybe leading to some of these down numbers?
I really don't want to get into that, to be honest with you, but you can all start with the college game, if you want to say, because when you look back, when I first got in the league, you had quarterbacks that grew up in systems, and it was traditional learning where to send the ball and how to send it, and now everything goes so fast in college. So when they get up here, it takes them a little bit of time to learn where to send the ball in the progressions. And so, but I'm not really worried about that, man. I'm worried about stopping these Cincinnati Bengals. All right, so.
And to that end, obviously, I guess we'll probably, I don't know if we're going to see Emmanuel Forbes this week. I'm guessing not, but Mike Davis stepped in last week. What did you kind of see from him and that cornerback group overall?
Well, you know, we have to do a better job as a defense of tackling and getting multiple people to the ball, and that's part of the speed element. You know, we're still on the outside looking for the combination that's going to give us the best chance. And like I told you, I believe 2 weeks ago, it will be a week-to-week deal, not just necessarily at the cornerback position, but throughout the defense of who we think is going to give us the best opportunity to win the game that we're about to face. So the rotation might be a little bit different, but it's just because that we want to look at who's going to give us the best chance to win this game. And then next week when we go against Arizona, we'll figure out who's going to give us the best chance to win that game.
That was Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt Jr. No lies detected talking about Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Not at all.
I also like how little he cares for entering into a hot take debate about too high safeties.
I mean, if I start doing something that's working, you think I want to start discussing something with the people that want to take it away?
Right. Well, ideally they start doing something that's working, because defensively they're going to have a major challenge on their hands Monday night in Cincinnati. The Bengals team is really pretty damn loaded. To learn more about that Bengals team, Charlie Goldsmith from the Cincinnati Inquirer joins us next.